and welcome to today's episode of Speak to Transform with Lisa VTV. I have a special guest with me today where you're going to want to tune in if you or someone you know has ever struggled with maybe finding freedom from food addictions or just struggling in some way to be able to overcome the challenges associated with food, their relationship with food. And today you're going to learn all about my guest's journey as well as her passion to help others find freedom from food struggles and to be able to do that in a way that's empowering. So I'm going to bring to the stage here my guest, Melissa Rolfe. Good afternoon, good morning, wherever you are in the world.
Hello.
Hello. Well, let me formally introduce you to our audience here today and then love to find out more about how you came to do what you're doing. So Melissa is a certified holistic health and life coach, helping women find freedom from the struggle with food. She is committed to empowering women to break free from dieting, emotional eating, and self-image issues so they can ditch the diet mentality and feel empowered in their own skin and be free to be who God made them to be. I love that. After her own tumultuous history with food, she learned how to deal with the core issues around her broken relationship with food. And as a result, she felt called to go to school and learn to teach other women how to do the same. So she's graduated from the Health Coach Institute as a holistic health and life coach and is a proud owner of Free to Be Coaching. And her husband and two kiddos live in Arizona. Lovely, lovely. Welcome to the stage, Melissa.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here, Lisa.
Well, Melissa, I would love to know, because as a teenager, had a struggle with food, which you probably know there's probably a lot that happens at teenage years, but it doesn't have to be confined to the teenage years. So I would love to hear more about your story in terms of how you came to do what you're doing today, how this all went for you and your journey.
Yeah. So it started in childhood, Lisa. Like I was 8, I had some childhood trauma and didn't know how to handle it. So food became my go-to. It became my safety, my escape, and started hiding Pop-Tarts, cookies, candy, just lots of sugary snacks in my room to try to make myself feel better in those times. And that carried into high school. And then it kind of went the other way because, as you mentioned, you know, in high school, being a teenage girl, I wanted attention from boys. I felt like I was overweight. So then I withheld and then went to college, picked up the binging again. I never purged. It was just stuffing and binging in that way. And that carried through marriage and into motherhood. And finally, after having kids and getting diagnosed with PTSD from childhood trauma, was like, okay, I need to figure this out. So
Wow. You know, and your story is probably not uncommon with women who it carries through many decades of their life, right? Without understanding the root of it. Is that what you're finding?
100%. And I think too, like even breaking it down and looking at what was modeled in my home. What did my parents model for me in terms of food and relationship with it and eating? And there's so many messages that we get as children in society. And it's very real.
So tell me a little bit about that, because you are very deliberate about talking about relationship with food. So tell me a little bit about why that's so important to use that terminology or use that.
Yeah, because it is a relationship with food, but I don't think we're taught that. We're taught that food equates to weight. We're not taught about the impact of food on mood and overall health and how it impacts our immune system, our mindset. Like it's, you know, God is a holistic God and he created all of these pieces of us to fit together synergistically. But I think we like to silo them off and say, this is my food piece. This is my weight piece. This is my health. And we don't really kind of connect them. And they're so interconnected. And so it is a relationship with food. It's, you know, why are you turning to food? What are you using food for? I have a woman who hated cheese and crackers, but whenever she felt overwhelmed and anxious, craved that. Come to find out her childhood, cheese and crackers were always part of the family gatherings when everybody was together and there was happiness and calm. And so she was looking for that feeling from childhood in the cheese and crackers. So we all have relationship with food. We're just not taught to think of it that way.
Yeah. So as a holistic coach, holistic health coach, do you help bring, do you work with both men and women, by the way?
No, women and teen girls.
Just women and teen girls. So do you help bring them through a process? Yeah, that you have? Would you care to share anything about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's called Finding Freedom from the Struggle with Food. And it's really helping them connect to their bodies, learning what foods work for them. Because we live in a world of one size fits all, Lisa, where I did this, I got this result. Now you do it too, because it's all over social media. And then you try it, it doesn't work for you. And then maybe you feel guilt or you shame or you feel like a failure because it didn't work for you. Mm-hmm. But we're not taking into account the way that God made us, our bodies, the way that we're designed. And so it's really helping them connect and understand their bodies, what foods work for them, what foods don't work for them, how to honor hunger and fullness, and really connect to listen to their body and discover who God made them to be.
Yes. Yes. So would you say that you found freedom? Was that like an overnight thing or?
Not at all. I wish that it was.
It's like one day you were struggling, the next day you were free. Tell me a little bit about how did you start to come out of that? What were some of the triggers for you or some of the maybe indicators or maybe those are not even the right words, but some of the steps that helped you to kind of move from where you were to in a place where you're moving into freedom.
Yeah. Well, I didn't even think I realized I had a problem. I mean, I think that's the first thing, right? Like all we know is what we came from and what we do. And then I remember going to a gym when we were living in the Midwest because I wanted to put my kids in childcare and drink coffee and maybe do a fitness class. Like that was where I was at. And it was Girl Scout cookie time. And I don't know, you know, Girl Scout cookies. So it was Girl Scout cookie time and I was sharing with some of the ladies, oh, I had a box and I just went into the closet and shut the door and ate them. Thought nothing of it. One of the women was like, why did you shut the door when you ate the cookies? Oh, I don't know. I mean, maybe because I wanted to hide them. Maybe I ate too many. I don't know. So that was kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. Fast forward a few years later, I took our son to the chiropractor because he was fussy. And the woman was like, the chiropractor was like, why is he so fussy? Did you eat something that maybe affected him? Because I was breastfeeding. And I said, well, I had some Oreo cookies. And she said, okay, how many did you have? Never thinking she would ask how many I ate. And I had to tell her I ate like half of the container in one sitting. And so I feel like those little kind of conversations were like, okay, maybe something is off. And then I think getting the PTSD diagnosis, working with a naturopath, learning that my vitamins and minerals and everything was not in a good place because I was living off of sugar, was really kind of the eye-opening of, okay, I need help. So went for prayer at our prayer rooms. We had healing prayer rooms. Went for prayer, continued in therapy and in coaching, and realized I'm turning to food to make me feel good. And I need to stop doing that. That's not how God wants me to live. This isn't what I want to pass on to my kids.
Yeah.
And so it was a long drawn out process. It was not overnight at all.
So let's go back a bit. Were there times in your life, even as you look back now, or maybe at the time, were you aware of where people were trying to either help you become aware, or maybe were concerned for you? Maybe they noticed that there was something off?
That's a great question. And I don't know. I mean, I think I was so miserable and just in my own issues of trauma and unhappiness and feeling like a failure that I don't think I would have even received that, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I do remember when my husband was traveling and I said to a friend, I keep going to the drive-through coffee shop because I just want somebody to do something for me. Like he's traveling and I feel like it all falls on me. I want somebody to do something for me. So I just go to the drive-through for that reason. Like, I feel like maybe I had some awareness, but I don't know that it would have done much because of where I was.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's always curious to see. So let's talk a bit about now when people work with you, what are some of the things that hold women back from engaging in actually the process?
I think it's the diet culture. I think it's the fact that we've been told that it's one size fits all. This is the hot thing right now. If it's not the patch or the pill or the shot or the shake, like we've just been kind of fed a bunch of lies around what it takes to really transform and have that healing journey, and it's all temporal.
So when you talk about that in terms of the healing, the transformation, I'm assuming that part of that approach is the emotional healing as well, like the holistic.
Absolutely. You've got to figure out the root cause. You've got to figure out why, what's driving that behavior. Why are you turning to food? What is it that you're believing, that you're looking for, that you think you need, that you're not getting? Like, what's really going on beneath the surface?
Mm-hmm. So can someone be completely free from food struggles?
Absolutely. Because I'm living proof.
And me too.
Amen.
So that is good news for those who are listening today. I love that you bring in this holistic approach, because I know that I personally know people who've gone through different therapy programs that didn't have that component in it. It was more behavior modification and things like that. Can you speak to some of that? Even some of the people that come to you, maybe if they've already tried other things?
Yeah, that's what a lot of it is. A lot of people have tried other things. They've been there, done that. They're like, I really want to do something. And I think what I love about what I get to do, Lisa, is I really help people change their habits and their relationship to food. And that's so much more than behavior modification. Mm-hmm. So it's really changing the habits, the beliefs, and the identity around food, really.
That is so cool. What a valuable service you provide for women. And so needed in our culture today. Well, it's always needed, but it's needed even more so with so many pressures, especially with young girls on the internet and everything like that, that can create some even trauma, you know, or feed into existing trauma as well for anxiety and everything like that. What are some of the things that you find actually, and just for the purpose of helping people who may be listening today, maybe even have an awareness of some of the things that help perpetuate this cycle or struggle, whether it be like social media or some things? Are there some things that you've kind of seen a pattern or identified?
Yeah, I think definitely social media. I think, you know, what we take in is really important in terms of what we're taking in visually and what we're feeding our minds. That absolutely matters. So I think social media is a piece of the puzzle. I think it's really easy to get into compare and despair. I think it's really easy to see what other people project and think that everything is this way for them and they have it so much better than we do. And that might not be the case. All we know is what they're showing us, and it might not even be real. You know, we've got the whole AI coming on the scene. I think that's affecting things. There's a whole lot of stuff.
Wow. Yeah, it's so true. You know, for me, I became anorexic as a teenager through trying to take control of my situation in my life because of a very chaotic environment I was growing up in. And that was my way of controlling my world, right? That was my way of controlling my world. And actually, I became a Christian at age 15 by reading the Bible, and it was coming into a place of understanding my identity in Christ that really began to remove the struggle for me, began to bring me into a place of freedom because of my own emotional transformation as well. So I wholeheartedly believe in that part of the process, and the key really is the key. Is knowing who you are in God and being loved by God, knowing that you're completely loved no matter what. So I love that you include that in your process when you work with women, because I believe that's the piece right there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now I am curious, because I used to work in campus ministry for
I did 17 years.
So and you became a Christian through a sorority. Can you tell us a little brief story about how that happened?
Yeah. So that's why I did campus ministry, because I became a Christian through my sorority house. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what an amazing experience, because you have all of these students in community. They have this major thing in common, being the sorority or fraternity that they're affiliated with. And the ministry I was a part of, they were all about meeting the students in their house rather than taking them out of their houses to go to a meeting. Let's do Bible studies in the house. And so it's that, you know, idea of meeting people where they're at. They're all together. They're in community. So I became a Christian through that, and then did campus ministry like you as a result of that.
That is so cool. I love that. Such an important mission field. Absolutely. Yes. So even more so today, I
think. 100%.
So good. Well, Melissa, I'm going to bring up a picture of your book here. So those who are listening or watching the video portion can see it. So it's called Finding Freedom, Overcome Your Obstacles to Living a Free and Fulfilled Life. Let me just bring that up here one second. And I'd love it if you would share a little bit about, is this primarily about finding freedom from foods? Because you don't mention that on the cover, or is this a little bit more holistic in that regard?
It's a little bit more holistic, but it's the whole story of like, this was my struggle. I struggled with all these things. I found freedom from it, but it showed up in food. That was how it kind of, you know, reared its head in my situation. So a little bit more of my story in depth, and then more of the process of what I went through to find that freedom and steps that people can take. There's some journaling pages in there. So
awesome. And where can people go to find your book?
If they Amazon.
On Amazon. Okay. Awesome. So anything else that you would like to leave with our listeners today as we just wrap up our conversation?
I just want people to know that you can be free. Like, I feel like we hear that so many times as believers. And I think my biggest struggle, Lisa, was, okay, I'm a Christian. I became a Christian in college, but yet I struggled all this time. And it's like, why did I struggle? Like, I knew what the word said. I knew what the Bible said, but there was this disconnect between what it said and for me to live out my life. And I think I talk about this a little bit in the book. I think what hit me is anytime there's a healing in the Bible, there's action required. So I think for me, my posture was, okay, I'm just going to pray and I'm going to let God do it. But I think he was inviting me, like, take a step, pursue the healing. You know, the man at the who had been lame had to pick up his mat and walk. The woman who'd been bleeding for years had to touch Jesus's robe. Like, healing requires action. So I just want people to know that you can be healed, you can be free, you can be whole. And God just might be wanting you to take a little action.
That is so powerful. I love that because it is so true. Oftentimes we can have this passive approach to our transformation or to overcoming something in our life when God is saying, well, I've done my part, your part. You need to kind of step into your part now. And so action. And what are some of the ways, if you don't mind, if we can just take a brief moment here and talk about someone who's walking alongside someone who is struggling with food struggles, you know, in terms of their relationship with food. What is there something that you can share with them in terms of how to best walk alongside them in a way that would empower and help them?
Yeah, I think being curious is always really helpful because I think a lot of times when people are in that situation, it's like, okay, I know that I don't love this. Like, I know that I'm not eating all the Girl Scout cookies in the closet by myself. I don't love that, but maybe there's this internal guilt or shame or negative emotion that they feel. So I think just being curious and maybe asking them, like, why were you eating the cookies? Were you hungry? And just kind of coming from a place of compassion and curiosity can be really powerful because we're already carrying a lot of guilt and shame as it is. And so I think just replacing judgment with curiosity can be really powerful.
So good. I love that. Well, thank you so much, Melissa. What a joy to meet you and to hear about how God is using you in this world, just to help other women come into the freedom that you have discovered, you have found, and helping them, walking beside them as well. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in today. I want to encourage you to share this episode with someone that you know needs to hear it, someone to be encouraged, and someone to even to get in contact with Melissa. I'm sure that you work with people all over the world through Zoom. Yeah. Okay. Good. Awesome. Well, thank you again, Melissa. So glad to have you here today.
Thank you for having me, Lisa.
You're welcome. Thank you, everyone. We'll look forward to connecting with you in our next episode. And make sure you share this out and go and seek out Melissa's book. And if you have any comments or questions for her, I'm sure she'd be more than happy to answer them as well. Bye, everyone. As you're listening today, you may have felt prompted to say, I want to become a much better speaker. I want to be able to speak with confidence, clarity, and transformational impact. I want to invite you to check out the link in the comments below, wherever you're listening to this. Your voice is an instrument of transformation and needs to be heard. So let it be heard.